Our scripture for today is from the 82nd Psalm, and we come to this psalm by virtue of God's word. We'll be reading from Psalm 82, 1 through 8, and Keith Smith will be reading our scripture for us. As Keith approaches, I invite you to give your attention to the screen. The words will be printed there for those of you who are worshiping with us online and for those who are present in our sanctuary.
Pastor King, Mason Community Church, praise the Lord. From the book of Psalms, 82. God presides in the great assembly. He renders judgment among the gods. How long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked? Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. The gods know nothing. They understand nothing. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods. You are all sons of the Most High. But you will die like mere mortals. You will fall like every other ruler. Rise up, O God, judge the earth. For all the nations, you are your inheritance.
This is the word of God for people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we hear these words of the writer of this particular psalm, I want us to focus on the subject for our text, waiting on true justice. Waiting on true justice. Waiting is one of the most difficult things in the world for people to do. And we wait for everything. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We wait for meetings to begin, and we wait for meetings to end. We wait for good news, and we wait for bad news. We wait for people on the phone, and we wait for babies to be born. At times, we even wait for people to get out of our way so that we can get on with our lives and get where we need to go. We wait in traffic, and we wait for traffic, and we wait for traffic lights to change. We wait in line at stores and in doctor's offices. We wait for each other, hoping in our waiting that everyone and everything causing us to wait will hurry up. There are some people who right now are waiting to get well and live, while others are waiting to die. And in all of our waiting, we grow impatient and tired of waiting. We just want to see things moving along. Well, if you heard our psalmist this morning, it seems that we're all waiting. Some of us are waiting on God, while God is waiting on us. But we're all waiting for true justice to make a showing in our world. So hear the word of our God. Nathaniel Hawthorne once wrote, a play called The Scarlet Woman. And in that play, he left us with this very familiar quote, this very true statement. He said, "No man, for any considerable period, can wear one face to himself and another to the multitude without finally getting bewildered as to which one may be true." He's talking about two-faced people now. Now, that statement alone speaks about a person's ability to be hypocritical in their actions while at the same time becoming confused about who they really are. But what if that same comment could be said and be true about persons who become confused about who they are on a spiritual level? What if in becoming confused, that person misinterprets their identity on a spiritual level, gets lost in their understanding of who they are, and begins acting out in ways that contradict everything they're supposed to be? For those persons who are called to be children of God, that identity as God's child can quickly become distorted along with the role that they are supposed to fulfill. If your role as a child of God is to administer the justice of God, but you get lost and believe that you are God and not merely an advocate for God and God's justice, then it's possible that the type of justice you administer could become distorted and perverted and nothing more than an illusion of the real thing. If that happens, the persons to whom you're responsible to and for may have to wait on true justice rather than accept the distorted and false version that's being offered. And therein lies the problem. We don't want to wait for what's really ours. But sometimes waiting is the only option. And that's the hard part. Today's psalm is not a psalm of David. It's a psalm of Asaph. Asaph was a Levite appointed by David when the Ark of the Covenant was brought to Jerusalem. He was a singer and a musician with the assignment to raise the voice with resounding joy. His assignment grew him to be the chief musician and prophetic worshiper in David's army and a seer. And it is to Asaph that this song is credited. What Asaph writes is in many ways troublesome for those who hear. It represents in prophetic terms what is called a covenant lawsuit between God and God's covenant partners. And it would seem that the things that Asaph is writing about in his lawsuit are the same things that are trending in today's news and social media cycles. Asaph first makes a statement about his understanding about God with a capital G. God with a capital G. We have to make that distinction because Asaph speaks of the God, capital G, the one true God, the almighty God, the all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God, who stands in judgment over all humankind. And he speaks of other gods, small g, referring to those who have been placed in positions as judges to oversee and administrate God's justice within the land of Israel. These little gods seem to have lost their identity and their direction. They seem to have forgotten that as little gods, their responsibility is to administer the justice program and protocol of Almighty God, Big G. And this isn't the first time this issue has been addressed. The writers of Deuteronomy had to deal with it, and they wrote, "He, God, is not corrupt. The defect is in his children, A crooked and perverted generation, you foolish people, so lacking in wisdom, and this is how you repay Adonai? He is your father who made you his. It was he who formed and prepared you. The prophet Hosea had to deal with it, and he wrote, "Hear the word of Adonai, people of Israel, for Adonai has a grievance against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth, no faithful love, or knowledge of God in the land. Only swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery. They break all bounds with one blood crime following another." And even the prophet Micah had to deal with it. And in concluding his argument, he concluded his closing argument by saying, "Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring fountains of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what way have I wearied you? Answer me." And then God says, "And you know, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." That doesn't seem hard. So now Asaph, in his writing, presents his case as God stands as supreme judge in the midst of these lesser gods and judges. A question is asked that has crossed the minds of many of those who believed in Asaph's day, as well as those of us who have watched the events of the past few years and weeks unfold before our eyes. Asaph lays his charges out at the feet of those lesser gods and asks the question as a charge against them coming from the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He asks of those lesser gods, small g, "How long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked?" As God has viewed the situation, those whom God has allowed to judge and administrate the affairs of God among God's people have themselves become corrupt, giving in to a system of corruption and injustice, taking advantage of the poor, the weak, the fatherless, and the oppressed. They've bowed down to themselves, ignoring God's requirements and demands for a just community, all the time exalting themselves and neglecting to honor Almighty God in their treatment of their brothers and their sisters. But God's rebuke puts earthly rulers in their place. They are appointed to govern God's people under God's oversight, but when they fail, they cannot claim the status of divine beings who live outside of God's justice and the earthly laws of life and death. As those who live as if no laws apply to them, they live in ignorance, failing to understand that divine beings are immortal, but humans are subject to God's judgment and death. They live as if they will never die, but will discover that in the end, unjust divine beings are unmasked and not being divine, and that death will become the great equivocator of us all. Asaph closes his lawsuit by calling on his God to rise up. Basically, he's begging God, saying, "God, come and do something. Don't let these corrupt people get away with their unjust schemes and actions. You are the judge of everyone. Show them and us your power." And that is God's word for God's people from the psalmist Asaph. Asaph must have been reading today's online social media messages and trends, because it seems that the very things that Asaph was talking about are the very things impacting our lives today. Those who seem to be in the position of leadership have become confused about what it means to be a steward of God's people rather than a God over God's people. It seems that they now believe that they are God, small g, and ignore the justice and righteousness that God, capital G, requires. They're not taking care of the poor and the fatherless, but instead taking more away from the poor and increasing fatherlessness. They're not helping the weak and the needy, but instead are catering to the strong and the greedy. They have blatantly displayed their lack of understanding about what God Almighty requires, while their actions are shaking the very foundations of what God's justice, true justice, is all about. They have the opportunity to live up to their potential as children of God, but have chosen instead to diminish God's glory and will die. Not as gods, not as people who have honored God, but as normal men and women who are lost and fall like every other lost ruler. So what does that mean for us as we live with the horrors of injustice going on all around us? How should we respond to those who lack wisdom and understanding about true justice? And I'm not sure I have the answer. I'm not sure I have the answer. But I do know where we are. And I do know, despite all of the confused people who are playing God, I do know who the real God is. You see, friends, I agree with Asaph. God is the God of all who sits in judgment of all. And yes, I know we like to think of our world as being a monotheistic reality. But there are other gods, and there are lesser gods. We've created some of them. We've elected some of them, chosen some of them, anointed some of them, appointed some of them, called some of them, and enthroned some of them on pedestals to be those who lead us. But we can't forget that we are gods too. Even Jesus reminds us that we are gods. Doesn't Jesus remind us of our status as God, small g, in our world? Doesn't Jesus tell us in the Gospel of John at verse 24 that is it not written in your law that I said you are gods? If those whom the word of God came were called gods, and the scripture cannot be annulled, can you say that the one whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world is blaspheming because I say, I am God's son? That's 10th chapter of John, verse 34. But among us, those who have been made gods over us, they have become their own gods over Almighty God, doing what they want to do, abusing their power, but they have no power. They are not God Almighty. Doesn't the word of God teach us and tell us and remind us about our God that to God belong wisdom and power, counsel and understanding are his? What he tears down cannot be rebuilt. Those he imprisoned cannot be released. And aren't we reminded again about the power of God, that he deprives the leaders of the earth of their reason? He makes them wander in trackless ways. They grope in darkness with no light. He makes them stagger like drunkards. And isn't the word of God confirmation that God Almighty is the God over all who judges all? There is no one or no thing that has the power or authority to judge God with a capital G or render judgment against God with a capital G. That's why we are reminded about judging one another, or anyone for that matter, by the scriptures that invites us to ask, why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we all stand before the judgment seat of God. So we need to reconcile ourselves to the reality that God is the God of all and sits in judgment of all. Yet even God questions how long God's system of justice will be ignored. Not because God doesn't know the answer. God asked the question to awaken us out of our sleep and disillusionment about how we are acting toward one another, contrary to how God has charged us to act. God questions our reasoning and judgment because those who have been designated as leaders of us have forgotten who they are and what God has called them to do. God asks the question so that we can determine how long we will choose to live in defiance of God's system of justice, promoting corruption when we know what to do. In a world that's supposed to be filled with the justice of God, it shouldn't be odd that Almighty God demands from those who are lesser gods to implement God's justice as the way of life. It should be highly unusual that God would need to ask the question of these lesser gods, how long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked? Hasn't God already decreed and told us over and over again what not to do? In Deuteronomy 1:7, he says, do not show partiality in judging, hear both small and great alike. Do not be afraid of anyone, for judgment belongs to God. And hasn't God told us in Proverbs, at the 18th chapter, verse 5, it's not good to be partial to the wicked and so deprive the innocent of justice. And hasn't God, in a more wise in counseling way, told us what to do? Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. And while God is asking questions of the lesser gods, given charge over us, holding them morally and spiritually accountable for their actions, we ask God a question in the same way that Jeremiah spoke to God, because we don't understand. It's a question that has been asked for ages. We ask God a question because we too are too aware of their indiscretions of injustice and can't make sense of it. Like Jeremiah, we ask, you're always righteous, Lord, when I bring a case before you, yet I would speak with you about your justice. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all of the faithless live at ease? You've planted them and you have taken root. They grow and bear fruit. You are always on the lips, but are far from their hearts. Even Job asked the question, why do the wicked live on, growing old and increasing power? They see their children established around them, their offspring before their eyes. Their homes are safe and free from fear. The rod of God is not on them. But clearly there's a glitch in the system. And the problem is not in what God has decreed or God's idea of justice. The problem is with how the lesser gods have chosen not to do what God has decreed, especially when God has made it clear what justice is. You see, brothers and sisters, it is God's position that ignorance of the law is no excuse. There is no justification for those who know what to do, yet don't do it. There is no getting away from our responsibility when we know what to do, yet brazenly take advantage of the weak. There is no excuse for abusing our power as children of God when those who have been given authority abuse their authority, giving themselves over to corruption rather than giving themselves over to the justice of God. There is no excuse for aligning themselves with injustice and practicing the very things that don't represent the God of justice. You see, friends, the world is in jeopardy when justice is not present. We've all heard the chant, no justice, no peace. Well, it could be said that these words come from the very mouth of God. It's because the lesser gods lack insight and wisdom that comes from God. It's because those who are lesser gods are often wrong in their judgments. In fact, it is stated clearly when the word of God says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But there is a difference when the lesser gods begin taking advantage of other lesser gods in the name of God Almighty, who judges all. There's a difference when they've taken the title of gods as God had given them and then distorted and perverted it to the point that lesser gods have taken what God has given as a grace and turned it into a disgrace. And it's because they have become self-serving and not God's servants. It's because they've become self-reliant and not God-dependent. It's because they've chosen to take care of themselves rather than those who are most in need of care. This is what happens when the rich defer to the rich rather than caring for the poor. This is what happens when those who are in power seek to submit to the will and desires of their rich acquaintances rather than listen to the voices of the poor crying out to God. This is what happens when the powerful begin to think they are all powerful, that they can do what they want, when they want, to whomever they want, without any fear of persecution, prosecution, retribution, or true justice. Maybe it is true that power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. It's what happens when they begin to believe that they are the judges of themselves and forget that God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is the God of all and the judge of all. God is God and judge of big gods and small gods. All life is not a guarantee for those living outside of the covenant with God. So where does that leave us? Those of us who are victims of injustice. Well, we are trapped, brothers and sisters. We're trapped, not between a rock and a hard place. We're trapped between perverted justice and God's true justice. We're caught between the injustice of people who play God and the true justice of Almighty God. We're trapped between the greedy and the needy, falling on the side of the needy. We're trapped beneath the heavy stones of devastation and the righteous freedom of God's salvation. We're caught in a time zone where the time of the oppressors is quickly running down and God's time is quickly starting up. And so in the meantime, we have to wait. We can't count on the greedy to help the needy. We can't count on the haves to have mercy on the have-nots. We can't depend on the strong to care about the weak, but we can count on Almighty God. And like Asaph, we lift up our voices and cry out to God saying, come on, God, and let your true righteous judgment set things right. Our voices are raised up to God, decrying our suffering at the hands of those whom you have called gods, but have failed to live up to your calling as children of God, to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you. And so it is to you, gracious God, that we rely on your truth and your word. It points us to the words of another psalmist, who lived under these conditions. And his recommendation was, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath, and do not fret, it only leads to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those whose hope in the Lord will inherit the land. That's the hardest part, waiting on God's true justice to appear. But we are not without hope, brothers and sisters. There were 3 days that 11 men And many other women waited in darkness while God was working out their salvation. But on the third day, God's true justice for all humanity came out of the grave. And did not Isaiah encourage us when he said, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. For it is in the spirit and strength of God's spirit that our waiting for true justice will not be in vain. And God will give us what we need to endure." Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And that is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God.